We're resuming the interview once again. And Lina, we were talking about your mum's cooking and her crostoli, and you were going to explain, you started explaining about what they are.
They're pastries cooked in oil, but she didn't cook them in oil. She cooked them in pig's fat, which was lard, because they killed their pig every year. She used to keep the pig's fat, and she used to render it down the day after, and it would solidify, and she would put it in earthenware container in the cellar, and she would then cook her crostoli with the lard. But that's what traditionally crostoli were cooked in. And I have also cooked them in that shortening, but as times progress, so have I, and I cook them now in sunflower oil or canola oil, but they do have a different taste. But then you sprinkle them with sugar. It's a sweet, wafer thin. And my mum's recipe has been copied by lots and lots of families because they were really delicious. She had a knack.
And we were talking about other traditions in your family, and there were a few of them.
Yes, well, the pig or the salami produced from the pig we used to make every year. Dad would also press grapes. They would go out grape picking, so then he would make his own wine.
Do you know where they got the grapes?
I'm not quite sure, but I think they used to go up McLaren Vale. There were quite a few going together of their friends, and then they used to share, and they would make their own wine. None of them grew vines to make wine, so they would have had to go together to get the grapes, because not very many people had their own mode of transport, so they used to share. And that was it. And then another one was the sauce making, which I still carry on that tradition as well. And because Dad had red tomatoes from his garden, well, then he would, because they weren't sold, so he would make his sauce, and Mum and Dad, together with us, because that was a job for us as well, we would make sauce for spaghetti. So, yes.
And what time of year did you do that?
Well, because that's another thing. They also grew their tomatoes, their summer tomatoes. So that would have been round about January, February, when they would make their sauce.
Yeah. And was that a big process outside with the fire?
And yes, and of course it was. It would have been a wood fire, and so the process was you boil your tomatoes, because Mum was also involved with neighbours that were from the southern part of Italy, because the Veneti didn't really make their own tomato sauce. Nobody used to make their tomato sauce, but because the southerners brought this tradition in, then that's why Mum made her sauce. And yes, so she copied the recipe from them. So it was boiling the tomatoes, crushing them. She had a mooli. She used to do it with a mooli first. because she used to make a few bottles at a time. So she used to do it with a mooli.
And was that hand?
One of those hand ones, yes. Yeah. And then she progressed to the one that, the machine that clamps on the table. I don't think she ever bought an electric machine like we have at home. But, yeah, so Dad and her would be out there. If we were at school, sometimes if we didn't help, they were out there. And then they would boil the, they would bottle them, salt the sauce, and then reboil them in beer bottles, recycled beer bottles. And Mum would always make her beautiful pastas and risottos. Oh, and she was also famous for her risotto. Mm.
And would she have stored the bottles in the cellar?
Yes, yes, because it would have been too hot inside the house. And sometimes if they're not really boiled enough, some of them could explode, but not very often. They lasted for years, some of those tomato sauce bottles. I'm just trying to think of any other traditions.
Well, I think you've done really well, and they sound like really important seasonal traditions.
Yes.
To do, especially to do with food.
Yes, yes.
In terms of your role in the garden, what sorts of jobs did you have to do?
Oh, I always remember helping Dad tying up strings for the tomatoes, because in the glass houses there was, I think there were about five rows. I can't remember exactly, but I think there were five. There could have been seven. Can't remember, but I had the job of the low row, so it was my job to, and I always remember doing French knots on those tomato plants, and it was very interesting because I've never forgotten that knot to this day. That was one of the jobs, and that was done after school or in the holidays or weekends. Never on a Sunday, because Dad never worked on Sunday. And my dad was also a very avid football spectator. And he would, every Saturday afternoon, he would go to the footy.
And we're talking about Australian rules football?
Australian rules football. That was his passion. Loved it with a passion until the day he died. But so Saturday afternoons was never, it was always a no-no to work in the garden. So Dad, although we never had the money that my other uncles might have had, my father enjoyed his life. He loved going to the footy.
And what team did he follow?
Oh, the Eagles, then West Torrens. They were his favourite. Anyway, but he tagged me along as well. So I also enjoyed that.
Did you ever go to market, Lena?
Yes, sometimes with Mum, but never... and Dad, but I never remember going there just solely with Dad. Dad would take Mum in for shopping, so we would go off shopping and Dad would go to the market and mingle with his friends, and then when it was time, we'd go back to the market and come home. All right, so I did that, and then I worked outside, as I said, that I was sick. You know, helping picking beans. And also, sometimes out in the open like that, we got some whirlwinds, they were called. They weren't very big. They were just like a tornado type whirlies, they used to call them. But they picked up all the dirt from the ground, and they would really damage the glass houses. Sometimes I remember once when one came, or there was two or three of them coming through, and the one side of all the glass house was really damaged because, as you know, they're glass houses. So that was another thing that I had to do. I had to go and help Dad. He would take down all the broken glass, but then he'd have lots of glass in boxes, so I would have to hand him the glass so he could fix up the broken panels. So that I did that. Mm.
Do you remember your parents organising things when it was cold at night in the glass houses? You know, about frosts and things like that?
Yes, I don't know whether Dad ever did that sort of thing, because I know a lot of them did use that medium where they would heat up the glass houses, but no, I don't remember that. But I do remember the furrows, and he would let the water in, and I'd love playing when it was hot, you know, I'd love playing in the furrows. And no, I don't remember about the heat.
And to return to your parents and when they moved to the garden off Findon Road, how old would your parents have been when they finished up in the garden?
Well, Dad actually sold the land, and he worked for Henley and Grange Council. He was a council worker, and he drove a truck for about, I'd say he would have been about 55, I reckon, when he sold the land. Yeah, so he sold the land.
Do you know how much land they had?
It wasn't much more than what he had before. It might have been 3 or 4 acres, I think. But he sold the land because they wanted... And he also sold his house on Findon Road. Then they went overseas, and then they relocated to Findon.
And about what year would they have sold?
I reckon Dad was about 55, so that would be... I reckon it was in 1963, 64, it would have been, yeah.
And what was happening to the land at that time?
I think he was just getting tired, because he was offered this job at Henley and Grange Council. He decided that that was enough, and it was really the right time, because that's when they introduced super, and so he got a really nice payout, and it helped him very much financially, and he found it better.
And at Flinders Park,
yes,
what was happening at that time?
At that time, then houses were going up. There were new houses, a development was going up. But also then that became the Flinders Park Oval. Part of Dad's land became the Flinders Park Oval. And we had a block of land, and so did Jim there, but we both sold it and we moved elsewhere. Yes.
And you went to school locally. Where did you go to school?
I went to St. Joseph's, and enjoyed it immensely, but my biggest thing, and it's called a bugbear for me, but I had this vision of having beautiful clean shoes when I got to school. Never did, because we had to trudge through market gardens that were always being watered, and so my shoes were always muddy, whereas my Finders Park counterparts had beautiful clean shoes. That was my memory of school, but I love school.
And that would have been when you were living on Valletta Road?
Yes, that. And we had to make our way to school by, you know.
So whose gardens would you have gone through?
We went through the Zarellas. The Zarellas are still prominent in market gardens. But
so was their land actually on Findon Road?
No, it was in a tiny bit, but it was mainly, it was off Drake Avenue, but that's the way we had to get to school, and was mainly, all of that land was mainly theirs that bordered on the southern side of the school. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that was one of my memories. And another one of my memories was, and I do love knitting and I do love crocheting and I love sewing, but I first learnt knitting when I was in reception with the nuns, and we had to knit a tea cosy just using garter stitch. But I said to my mum, I need some wool because I need to make this tea cosy. So she gives me this ugly coloured brown wool, dark brown wool. Oh, and when I get to school, these other girls have got these beautiful coloured wools. But do you know what? My mum treasured that tea cosy cover. Was beautiful, you know.
She probably thought it was just gorgeous. And Lena, we're going to have to finish this interview here, and we might pick up just a few things in a following interview. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madeline.